Our gracious God, yes, we thank thee that we are your children. And we thank thee, Father, that through your word that we may understand the Sabbath day. After creating heaven and earth, then you rested on that day. And you have even put it into your commandments for us to remember because of the creation. So we just ask for that guidance and direction that we may truly live up to what you would have us to do as we celebrate each Sabbath. And that we will not allow pressure to come upon us where we would ever give it up. We know that times are coming when it will be persuaded for that, and the pressure would be put upon us, and our sanctuary here may even be locked to not allow us access. But we pray, Father, that we will be prepared, that we will meet together as other peoples do in other parts of the world now today under adverse conditions, even to the point of death. So give us that guidance and direction that we truly may be yours and that we will continue to serve thee on this each Sabbath day, and it is through for eternity that we will be with thee on each day to be able to hear from our Lord Jesus, from his very lips, the words that we so preciously are learning for. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We know that this world tolerates another God besides the one in heaven. It's clearly told in Isaiah 14:12-20 about Lucifer, Ezekiel 28:1-19 about the king of Tyre, Revelation 12:7-9, Michael the archangel and the great dragon. And therefore God, who can see the end from the beginning, seen at some point in the annals of time that people would apostatize from God and from his holy law. We find the prophecy of this very thing in Daniel 7:25, talking about it in 7 about the little horn, is the man of sin. And that they would think to change times and laws. But what time and law is God interested in? Certainly the laws that which man places on the books today and then changes it for something new tomorrow. No, but he is concerned about his never-changing law that we have, for we know that never changes. God never changes. And about mankind who will back the storm of time and eternity to put God's law behind, to put it away from their sight and hearing so they can have their own way. When they make void God's commandment, keeping Sabbath, we know that they have broken his sacred law. And as we look at the Sabbath, to desist from the covenant sign of God's leadership of creation. By observing the Sabbath, Israel confessed that they were God's redeemed people, subject to his lordship to obey the holy law of God. And it is for the church today. This is taken from Strong's dictionary. As we're stewards to show mercy with kindness and liberty to all, that's our commandment for us today also. By resting, man witnessed his trust in God to give quiet rest to his labor. So we know that we are to rest on the holy Sabbath day. And I think I've told you before there that when I become a Seventh-day Adventist, my one supervisor said, "You mean you can't go out and mow the lawn like we can do on Sunday?" And I said, "No, I can't." And so I know that another supervisor told me that I've been smiling ever since I gave it. So I know that the Sabbath day, the seventh day, is a true day. And when we take and change the time and we look at it from midnight to midnight instead of God's even to even, or sunset to sunset, we know that we have broken God's trusted law. Leviticus 23:32, our scripture meditation for today. Satan, we know, is a changer of God's law. And that is Sunday worship. And he changed it through the man of sin. That little horn, or the beast power, deceived many. And all these are terms of Satan's power or his seat here on earth, because we know that he still has control of this earth. But one day soon, that control will be taken back, and it will be given back to the rightful owner, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Did God change the Sabbath? Or did Jesus change the Sabbath? We already know that answer to that. We have to be ready to give an answer to people that ask us these questions. I came not to destroy the law nor the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. We know this. That's exactly what our Lord Jesus did. He didn't come to destroy his holy law that the prophets had even spoke about themselves, but he came to fulfill all that he had spoken of in the scripture. And in these prophecies, that what he would do concerning his law. And we know that if we don't keep the law, that we will be destroyed, that we will have no future. And we have that promise of eternal life, to be with our Lord and our Savior forever and ever, if we do keep his commandments, if we have that faith and the belief. We know that by keeping them, that does not save us. It is Lord Christ's merits alone that saves us. So we truly know that we need to keep his commandments. And so we just look at that. Until heaven or earth passes away, nothing will ever change. Not even the I, dot over the I, or the cross over the T. People say that God can do anything. And I believe that we all agree with that 100%. But with the exception of three factors, which God cannot do, or he will not do. Number one, God cannot lie. What he has been caused to be written, his holy word, is verily truth and cannot be changed. God is the very essence of that truth. And he has made it this his very substance. Therefore, he has to live by it. And he will not tolerate that which is in direct opposite to his laws. Number two, God cannot force us or force man to serve him against his own will. We have been given a will of our own. We pray that we change that and allow God's will to control our own will. And so we just ask for that. God requires free choice for each and every one of us. Number three, God cannot change his law or his Sabbath. If God could have changed these three principles, we would not have a need of the Savior to suffer and to die for each one of us. But he did, because of just one person. Even if one person had sinned, Christ would have came and died for that person. We see that. Nor does God want to say, he wants to say that to us, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the things that has gone out of my lips. Psalms 89:34. God spoke his law to Israel of old and wrote it with his own fingers. We know that that's in Exodus 20 and also in Exodus 31:18. And we are to follow it. It never has been changed and never will be changed. And it is written of Jesus in Psalms 47:8. Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy will is written in my heart. And we know that the Sabbath commandment is just one precept of his law. Jesus came to this earth to show us how to keep his law. And whoever is our example in every respect. And he kept the seventh day Sabbath. In Luke 4:16, we can read that. And if you would turn to Luke 14. We know that Jesus went about doing good on the Sabbath. Luke 14, verse verses 1 through 5. Luke 14, 1 through 5. Luke 14, 1 through 5. And it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before them which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spoke unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox falling into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And we know that we need to keep the Sabbath. To keep the Sabbath properly means to put aside and out of sight and out of the way the things that we do during the week or the first 6 days of the week. To set aside our books, our papers, and everything that they are not in sight on this Sabbath day. To use in the preparation day to be ready for the Sabbath. Even to start the next day after Sabbath to be ready for the next one. We must be ready to meet the Sabbath with joy and gladness. And did you come to church today with joy and gladness in your heart? Or were the pressures of your life pressing against you and you weren't have to be able to have that joy? And with songs and with prayer for the Sabbath day, the thanksgiving to God for his gracious love that he has for us, that through our Lord Jesus Christ that we may receive all things. He loved us and gave himself for us so that we might have life. We know that on this day, Jesus' likeness of which is not given on any other day. He has a completely different likeness on the Sabbath day than the other 6 days of the week. And so we just see that we need to prepare our hearts for each Sabbath and our minds for true worship on this day, to meet with the Lord and with his people in his presence. On the Sabbath day, to prepare our hearts and our minds for that true worship, to keep that, to reverence the Lord's holy sanctuary, this sanctuary here that we come into each Sabbath. And then after the service, the rest of the times perhaps may be kept by going out into nature, walking in nature and enjoying it, looking at the handiwork of God, or to visit the sick, to sing and to pray and do all things to the glory of God. We need to be able to guard the very edges of the Sabbath. Many times that I've known that I have not done that. We need to start the Sabbath a few minutes before sundown and close the Sabbath with song and with prayer a few minutes after sundown. Do we do that? I pray that we are doing that. We know that as true Christian keepers and Sabbath keepers that we have to follow the instructions given to us in the Holy Word by our God. And if you look at Isaiah chapter 58, Isaiah chapter 58, Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14, about true Sabbath keeping. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the God, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thy own ways, nor fighting thine own pleasure, nor speaking thy own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed there with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So we see there that God wants us to honor these Sabbath days that we have. We know that the time that Israel was in captivity, Judah was in captivity for 70 years, the Sabbath days was honored there in the land of Israel. Too many people put their foot on the Sabbath so that it's impossible to seek the way of the Lord clearly. And then again in Isaiah 50, the 56th chapter, Israelites were to keep judgment and do justice so that the stranger, even the Gentiles, would see the goodness of the Lord through their actions, and that they would come and keep the Sabbath with them. We know that they failed. Are we failing to do the same thing today? To show other people the Sabbath and how we delight in it, and that they may come and worship with us. And we know that there's no scriptural record where the apostles or anyone else so much as thought about changing the Sabbath. But we see the accounts given in Acts chapter 18, verses 4, 13, 14, 27, 42, 44, and in 17:2, where both Jesus and the Gentiles kept the Sabbath, even as Paul's manner. If one is to find out when and where the Sabbath was changed, we know that we have to go outside of the Bible, for the Bible does not show anything. But historical records show the transition was made completely. It was given by Constantine twice, but then between AD 508 and AD 538, according to history, the seventh-day Sabbath was put down and Sunday was put in its place by the Roman Catholic mandates. But the seventh-day Sabbath is a part of the moral code. It is a natural for right doing, just as are all the other commandments. We know that there is a righteous judge, and that he will judge each and every one of us. He will judge all mankind. If you turn to Genesis 18:25, I wasn't going to turn today. I was just going to read that today, but I thought maybe I better read it. Genesis 18, verse 25. It be from far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous shall be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And so we see that God will do right through the Lord Jesus Christ. And on what grounds will the judge judge the whole world? Whosoever committeth sin transgresses against the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. 1 John 3:4. And in our court system today, after someone has been found guilty of breaking an enforced law of the land, the earthly judge will sentence him according to the law that he has broken. And certainly we cannot expect God to do anything less, especially when he has emptied heaven for each one of us, for our souls, and he has loved us unto death, even coming down to die on the cross for us, and has pleaded for repentance from each one of us, and all through our lives that he is there presenting that through the Holy Spirit. Can we do anything other than to give our righteous lives to him? To know that we would lose out if we were to scorn him in his mercy that he has for all of mankind. We just know that we need to continue following our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way that we can have eternal life. God has promised us these things. Jesus himself has given it to us, that he has prepared mansions for each and every one of us, that we'll be able to be them in heaven and then on this earth made new, to be in that city that Abraham was looking for, to be able to see the throne of God, to see our God and our Savior sitting there, their place, with the 24 elders around them. And then us will be there. Seems like that there'd be so many people there around them that's going to be, we wouldn't be able to think that we would see God way back where we're going to be. But we will. No matter where we will be, we can be able to see our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So we just pray that we will be there. For the ways of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. All we need to do is break one of God's commandments persistently and unrepentantly, and that we have sinned and transgressed against God's law. And we know that the wages of sin, as I said, is death. But if we repent from that sin, we have eternal life. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Can man be separated from his character? Can you separate from your character? No. We know that we cannot. And neither can God be separated from his holy law. James said, if you fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, James calls the law the royal law and says it is scriptural. We know which law James is speaking about because we can read in the next few verses there also. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. And these are all come from the moral law of God. James further states that if we should keep the whole law, yet and find in one point we are guilty of breaking the whole law. Then he adds that God will judge us by his law and liberty. And I pray that we will be able to stand before God without that sin against us because of the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. We know that most of the world is guilty before God for breaking his holy Sabbath commandment. He has new light to bring to every generation born upon this earth. We have new light ourselves today to be given to the world. So we just see that we need to be ready to give that light. There's going to be many in heaven because they did not know about it, did not keep the Sabbaths, or did not understand its importance, but who lived up to all the light that they had. So we see that, especially true during the 1260 years of prophecy before and after of papal persecution, when all the Bibles were taken away and were burned. But it's not so today. God has made the seventh-day Sabbath a test of loyalty. And if we continue to serve him on the Sabbath, we have kept that loyalty. And that we need to show that loyalty to others as we give the gospel commission. So we know that all the world at the end can see the importance that we put on the Sabbath day because of our Lord Jesus Christ and his law that he has. God will give us the grace and the power to be able to keep his law so that we know that it is right. God is calling his people out of Babylon. Read that in chapter 18 of Revelation. And does the Sabbath day belong to the world? Although Jesus came to this world, lived, and died so that the whole world could share in his blessings, yet his greatest blessing bestowed upon us will have faith in Jesus and will obey him. And I pray that we are obeying him every day to the light that we have. We're going to have our trials. We're going to have our temptations that are thrown before us. But I pray that we don't use Jesus himself as a stumbling block, and that we need to follow him all the way so that we may be him. We know that the Sabbath belongs to God, but we become children of God and can inherit the heavenly right from the Father to have the Sabbath day, to keep his Sabbath, just the same as his children inherit the kingdom of heaven, as the earthly children are given inheritance from their parents. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, Romans 8:24. And we pray that we can be the sons and daughters of God for eternity. And one day soon, we will see our Savior face to face. Yes, our gracious Heavenly Father, We thank thee that we may delight in thy Sabbath, even to even. Help us truly, Father, to be your servants each day of the week, but as we come together on a Sabbath day to worship thee, that we bring to thee our minds as we are, to lay aside the cares of the week, to lay aside the burdens that we have, knowing that thou wilt take care of them. Oh, Father, the opportunity that one day soon that we will be able to keep the Sabbath with our Lord Jesus Christ, to be with him each Sabbath, to learn from his very lips, studying the plan of redemption for eternity, to have those mansions that we will have, to build our houses, to plant gardens, to live that life of rest, that ease that you were to give to Israel. But because of their disobedience, they were not to have it as they went into the land of Canaan. But we are going into the land of Canaan soon, one day, and that we will have this rest with our Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.